Get ready for another episode of the Life Strong Project.
Here's what I would say. If you're thinking that I'm doing it for attention, you're welcome to take over. You do it. You're welcome to take over. I'll fall back. If other people are going to do it, I'll fall back. But sometimes, especially when you're taking over a school and you're new, right, or you're starting a school, you have to set the standards. And so I'm going to lead through my actions.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to the Life Strong Project. Again, you know who I am. I'm your gracious host, AC. And as always, man, it is such an honor and a privilege to, you know, to be a part of your evening, morning, whenever you're watching this show. I appreciate it. That's, you know, make a long story short, we appreciate it over here at the Life Strong Project. So there's one thing that has always perplexed me, and that's the differentiation between, you know, the types of schools, the funding between schools depending on where you live. You know that's that, you know, we're not getting into politics here, not for this show, but it's something that has stuck to me. Something happened, you know, while I was in the Army, and I was made privy to something that I had never really paid much attention to. And it opened my eyes into the vast world of education, how in certain communities, especially the black communities, sometimes we don't have those leaders that can take our youth, can take our adults, can take anybody to the next level. I mean, yeah, we have teachers, we have admin, we have all kind of, you know, personnel in the education world, but sometimes we don't have those people who want to take us to the next level. Well, on today, I've got the man, the myth, the legend. And I mean, I'll explain why I call him that, you know, very shortly, but this is a big interview for me because, you know, it has personal ties. But on today, man, we have the pleasure of speaking with not only a U.S. Air Force vet and an accomplished leader in higher education, but this brother has more than 20 years of experience across multi-site campuses. He's built a reputation for elevating institutional performance through effective leadership, strategic vision, and team development. His career includes roles such as campus president, campus director, academic dean, vice president of operations and education, spanning some of the nation's well-known career colleges. But beyond his work in higher education, he is also the founder of First Job Prep. It's a scalable, practical system for helping teens and young adults gain the confidence and the skills needed to land that dream job, all right? So today, that personal mission has transformed into a full online course aimed at empowering youth everywhere. And I'm excited. We're excited over at the Long Strong Project, but personally, I'm excited to learn more about, you know, his leadership journey, his passion for developing others, and the inspiration behind First Job Prep. So Life Strong family, I need y'all to give it up for real. A hearty applause for my brother, all right, Moses Delaney. What is good, Mr. Delaney?
How you doing, sir?
Man, look, hey, this is probably a long time coming, but bro, hey, I appreciate you just for stopping through on the Life Strong Project and today.
Of course.
You know, I'm gonna let you tell people who you are, but I'm gonna just throw a little nugget out there. So if people read my bio, they see that education is a big part. I love to teach. I love it. Well, this brother right here, I'm gonna just put it out there. This, I learned so much from this brother right here. I had the honor and the privilege to work underneath him and with him And I learned so much more than just, you know, effective ways of teaching. I learned, you know, I don't want to go too deep, but this show right here means a lot to me to have you on, man. So I appreciate
respect.
It.
Respect.
So, hey,
thank you.
Hey, Mr. Delaney, give the people who are listening a brief intro of yourself, who you are, and what you do.
Yeah, so my career, you know, obviously, you know, I'm a campus director. You might call it a campus president. Different companies call it different things. But early on in my life, no one would have ever thought that I would have been leading colleges and serving as a consultant for other colleges and HBCUs, because I didn't do well in high school. I mean, I failed the 11th grade. I finished with a 1.8 GPA. Mm. Didn't do well at all, right? Went to the Air Force. Spent all my time nearly at the Air War College. You know, every branch has a war college. So I spent my time there. And then I studied. I got my undergrad degree in business from Troy University in Montgomery, Alabama. Mm. All right. Had a great time in Alabama. That's my second home, by the way.
All right.
Right after finishing my undergrad, I moved back home to Hampton, Virginia.
Okay.
Okay. Right back to Hampton, Virginia. And I saw this ad in the newspaper. It said, "We're looking for someone with a 4-year degree and must be smart to be a manager trainee to work at a school." So I said, "Man, that sounds like me," you know. So I applied for the role. This role, this is very, very key. This role had me working in every position on the campus. I had to be an admissions rep and enroll students. I had to work in financial aid and package students' financial aid. I had to be a registrar. I had to be a career services director. I had to work in student accounts, but I had to do the work. It prepared me so well, man, that long story short, I ended up becoming a campus director and leading multiple schools. Then after that, overseeing multiple campuses. So that program was very important for me. But, you know, in a nutshell, that's what I've been doing since January 2006. So now it's been exactly 20 years pretty much in this space. Not only do I have First Job Prep, which is a focus on teens, but I also serve as a president for the National Institute for Higher Education Training, giving back to other individuals. That program that I went through,
right,
I created a whole new program for anybody out there to get access to preparing for roles in higher education.
Man, you know, I so never knew that. So I, yeah, you, and it's interesting how you highlighted the beginning. Let's talk about the beginning there. Okay. So I personally know this Moses Delaney. I know this one. So it was interesting to hear the beginning, the student who didn't do well. Now, so did you like school?
I did.
You did like school?
I did. Yeah. I liked it. I didn't do the work.
Okay.
I hate to say that, but it's so honest. I didn't do the work. Yeah. And you got to do the work to be successful.
So, okay. So you liked the camaraderie of school.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know, plus I played sports. I played football and stuff like that. So, yeah. Okay.
All right. So I get that. Because I was the same way. I like the camaraderie. I like being around friends. But hey, I didn't go to class.
I didn't go to class.
I didn't do the work.
I went to class.
I did go to class. I did. But there were a couple that I was like, I'm just not going. I'm just not. And you know, we probably shouldn't have put that
out. It's all right. It's all right. It's the truth. You know?
It's the truth. It's the truth. So from that point, you know, you go on to become, you know, U.S. Air Force airman or whatever. That I'm assuming that leadership journey began. So, because, you know, the military will, you know, it's going to do one of two things. It either straighten you out or it get rid of you. One of the two. So
phenomenal.
So here you are, you know, you weren't the greatest student. You're in the Air Force. Mm-hmm. What was that? Was there a mentor or was there an instance during that area of your life or that point in your life where you were like, man, I want to get into education?
Yeah. I don't usually tell this story because, man, that was a very important part of my life. So I'm even trying to not even tell it now.
Oh, man.
No, you are not going to catch me on a sentimental moment. No way. Oh. But I'll say this. You know, when I was back home in Hampton, Virginia, I don't think many people that I grew up with are even living today. Yeah. I think most of the ones that are living are the ones that went into the military.
Okay. Okay.
Right. They got away from home. Right. But while in the Air Force, man, that was, there's no way I would be where I am today without the Air Force. No way.
Man.
No way. But I had some phenomenal leaders in the Air Force. Those, quite frankly, most of them didn't look anything like me. They didn't, but they poured everything they had into me, and they helped me, and they coached me. They told me up when they needed to, you know.
Yeah.
Yep. They had to put their foot in my butt, you know, when they needed to. I got it, you know. But it taught me, and they just believed in me, you know. But I had some phenomenal leaders. Because I didn't do well in high school, I didn't think I was college material.
Okay.
I can't even tell this story.
Man.
Nope. I can't do it. I can't. I'll just tell you in short, you know, I had someone to really micromanage my homework assignments.
Okay.
And then for that semester, I had straight A's. First time in my life. I don't even think I made straight A's in middle school, right? Not even in elementary school. I think I never got straight S's, like the satisfactories.
Yeah.
You know, never did well in school. But the leaders in the Air Force, man, that was it for me. They believed in me, micromanaged my homework assignments, and I got straight A's. He said, hey, now you know you can do it. Now go back. Take another semester, take another four classes. You've already proven you are a straight A student. Now do it again.
Man. Wow. Okay. All right. So man, that's a, I ain't mean for you to get emotional there, bro.
I was hoping you wouldn't go down that lane. I thought about that all day today. I said, I've never told that story, and I can just imagine what I'm going to feel like doing that. So I'll try to keep it short, but also give your viewers just the truth, you know?
Right. So there you are. So, you know, you have these mentors, these leaders that come across your path. And it sounds like that was the instance that started the change as far as education is concerned. So when was it, or what was it, both when and what was it that, and you already spoke about the whole instance of getting that job once you got out, but even more so, you're working the job, but there are people working jobs every day. It's not their calling, right? Like it's a job.
Yeah, that happens.
It's a 9-to-5. It's paying the bills or what have you. But education is your call, right?
Yeah.
It is what you were meant to.
It's my gift. It's my gift.
Yeah, I've seen you in action. That's definitely your calling. So, So what was it? When was it that Moses Delaney, the light bulb went off, and Moses Delaney said, "This is what I'm supposed to do right here."
Yeah, I remember that. Even though it was 20 years ago, I can take myself back then like it was last week. This would have been January 2006. I moved back home to Hampton, Virginia, right? I was staying with my sister. I was sleeping on her sofa, okay? Man. And my sister saw my resume. She was like, hey, you're not getting many job hits. She was like, let me look at your resume. And I showed her my resume. She was like, Moses, this is garbage, you know? And she said, I work for the vice president of Pepsi Cola. Anyone he interviews, I get a copy of their resume. So let me show you a few of these resumes. Here's your resume. Here's this person's resume. Who would you interview? Who would you hire? Here's your resume. Here's this person's resume. And she kept doing it. I said, Tasha, I get it. She was like, I'm going to do your resume for you. So my sister did my resume.
Okay.
And, she did the resume, And it was phenomenal. And that was on a Sunday. That Monday morning, I woke up, I sat straight up 6 o'clock on the dot, and this energy just came on me like, fax off your resume. It's 2006, so you still got fax machines, right? So I faxed off my resume, and this the campus president of a school in Virginia Beach, Virginia,
okay,
called me 3 hours and 15 minutes later, right?
Man.
After I interviewed with her, the very next person was a regional vice president. I interviewed with him, and I asked him, I said, hey, what does the career field look like if I, like, for this role? Like, what can I do after I finish this manager and trainee program? Mm-hmm. He said, well, you could be lead a department, you know, depending on your strength. So we're going to watch you as you go through every department. You could lead a department, and eventually, Moses, you might end up becoming a campus president. And I said, I wanted to know, what was the money like, you know?
Of course.
And yeah. I said, well, at this time, I think I'm 28 years old. All right. So I'm thinking, I don't care if I get to that point at 40. I'm going to get there sooner or later, you know?
Okay.
I said, well, what does that pay look like? I'm just curious. Now, I would have never asked that today, right? But back then, I'm 28.
All right.
And he said, Moses, I don't know a college president making anything less than 100 grand. Now, mind you, I'm 28. At the time, my plan was I want to make $35,000 by the time I'm 35 years old. So to hear that if I do well, I could probably one day make 100 grand. Now, I didn't come from a rich family. We grew up with no lights, no water, food stamps. I mean, you name it. So when he told me that, I said, no matter what I got to do, I'm going to put in the work. I'm going to get to that point. And while I was in the manager trainee program, you get to see the impact you have on other people's lives. You get to see it. I mean, you know this, especially at graduation. You see that you help that person get from point A to point B. You help them polish. You help them prepare. And once you see that, once you get bit by that bug, oh, man.
Yeah.
But that was a point for me, was one, realizing what I can ultimately become, and then working as a manager trainee, knowing the impact that I have on people. I said, you know, I mean, that's the best of both worlds. You get to serve people, help them be wildly successful, and you get paid well for it. That was it for me.
I think that's the part that I learned from you. I think, well, not the understanding, you know, how you can affect someone's life. I think the part I learned from watching, putting eyes on you, was beyond the classroom. I watched how you, and I use this term, lightly, because I don't want to, you know, people to think, oh, well, campus president shouldn't be doing that. But I would say mingle. And when I say mingle, you know, instead of just being in your office, because let's be honest, your campus, you at that point, you were the campus director. You were the man. And, you know, there are some that stick to the office. They, you know, they run the school well, maybe, but the students aren't their forte, and not necessarily their, I'm going to say, responsibility, maybe their responsibility, but the overall running of the school was your responsibility. But but I saw you, I mean, from the time the doors opened and students came through, you were shaking hands, you were at, hey, how's it going? How's you know, how's that? How you been doing? What's everything good? Good. All right. I saw you putting out fresh coffee, buying pizzas for these students. And I said,
you're cooking breakfast on a Saturday morning.
I remember that. That's when the light bulb went off for me, as far as, not as far as teaching, but as far as what education, leadership and education is.
Yeah.
It's not about so much about, you know, dotting I's and crossing T's and writing policies and this, that, and the other. You made it clear that you cared. Mm-hmm. And I think when students saw the campus president, and I remember, never told you this, I remember a student, female student, she said, you know what? She said, you know why I come here? And I was like, to get an education. I thought, she said, no, beyond that. She was like, because I see people come off of their perch and hang with the low lives. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she made reference to you. She said it meant a lot to her that you came from down the hall and mingled and spoke and checked on students. And that's basically, she was saying, that's why I keep coming. She was like, because there are times I just want to quit. But when Moses Delaney meets her at the door and shakes her hand, that meant something to her.
Yeah.
That's, man, that's, that meant, and that's,
thank you for sharing that with me.
That's when I learned. I said, man, it goes beyond, you know, you could be the best instructor. You could be the best instructor. But if you actually want to touch a life, you've got to know. you've got to have a relationship with that individual. I mean,
100%.
And that's what I got from you. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, the students can pick up on the energy. They can, they know if you care.
Yeah. Yeah.
They know. And so someone once told me, leadership is when the other individual allows you to influence and persuade them. And in order for someone to allow you to influence them, they must trust you. They must know you care. And showing up is, that's the biggest part about caring. You got to show up. And so even after that school, I lit another school, day programs, night programs. I mean, you name it, hundreds of students. One of the things that I implemented was I said, okay, this school is a lot larger, you know? And so, but I still want the presence of leadership to be there and to check in with students. And this is one of the things that I coach academic deans on. I say, hey, if you have a school with multiple programs, I mean, you have multiple program chairs.
Right.
It's the chairs over the program that supervise all the instructors, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, if your school has a student entrance where all the students come through, an academic dean is responsible for the ultimate retention of all of those students.
Yep.
You should never allow students to walk into your learning environment through those doors and you never check the temperature. Mm-hmm. You know what students have on them in the morning? Bills, children, daycare, relationship issues, health scares. I mean, you name it. So much of life happens. You let them walk through those doors and into your classrooms and you don't check in with them. You don't see what they have on them. You have to. So we started putting a table at the student entrance, putting the fruit and stuff like that. Because some students, they don't have food to eat. They don't. So putting the bananas and the apples and maybe a few honey buns and stuff like that. But you also got to put a little bit of music on, you know. Some of them has to be the instrumentals because, you know, you can't really play the real song, you know. At the end of the day, how do you impact your students? When they walk in that environment, you can see when you have it set up like that and you put your program chairs on rotation. Hey, I need you to take the student entrance on Monday morning. You take Tuesday morning and you check in with them. Hey, so-and-so, how's it going? How's class going? How's your class average? Do you need any help? Are you falling behind? Listen, if you feel like you're falling behind, I got you, but you got to let me know. You know, here's my cell phone number, right? You have to catch those things. If you don't catch them, students will go through life and those life issues. And most of the students are of younger age, right?
Right.
So they haven't built the like life skills that we have to deal with situations. So when one thing happens to them, they feel like the whole world has come to an end. And if they have to choose between dealing with the situation or staying in school, they're going to leave and drop out. They're going to deal with the situation. If you would have caught that student early, you could have guided that student and they would have stayed into the program, which would increase your student retention and lower your student attrition. And so that's one of the main things that I require when I lead a campus. We got to catch and connect with these students when they first walk in. If you wait to deal with their issue, when they tell you, most of the time it's too late.
I'm curious because I know what I would say. I know what I've heard. Everybody's different, but I can recall people, I'm not going to say making fun of, but maybe question those tactics. I can recall people saying, it doesn't take all that. What are we doing? Like you said earlier, what are we cooking breakfast on Saturday for? Hey, yeah. It doesn't take all that. We don't have to do all that. What would Moses Delaney, and I know you just explained, you know, how that affects attrition and, you know, retention is up and, you know, dropout numbers go low. But what would you say to that individual, if you could, that individual that says, man, he is doing too much. It doesn't take all that. He's just doing that for, I don't know, show and tell. He just wants to be seen. Because those are some of the things I heard. Because you're on here on Saturday or you just mad? I'm like, dang, but.
Here's what I would say. If you're thinking that I'm doing it for attention, you're welcome to take over.
Oh.
You do it.
Well.
You're welcome to take over. I'll fall back. If other people are going to do it, I'll fall back. But sometimes, especially when you're taking over a school and you're new, right? Or you're starting a school, you have to set the standards.
Right.
And so I'm going to lead through my actions. I know people watch me. They know my footsteps. They know that my keys jingle every now and then. People know all of that. So because I know people are watching, I want to demonstrate what I expect other people to do. And believe it or not, what a school executive would tell you is you can walk into a school. Like I can walk into a school. Mm-hmm. Sit me in the lobby. Just sit. Don't take me down any hallway. Sit me in the lobby 5 or 10 minutes. I can pinpoint where your problems are.
Man.
I can pinpoint it. You're a parent, right? Mm-hmm. So you have children.
Yeah.
You ever sat beside your son or your daughter and you know something's wrong?
Absolutely.
They haven't said a word.
Absolutely.
They haven't said a word.
Absolutely. Yes.
You can pick up, it is just like that. When you are in tune with your campus and you're in tune with your students, you walk around, you meet them. You know, people have a certain greeting every single day. They have a certain pace. They have a certain energy. And people are normally creatures of habit. So I watch patterns. When that pattern change, it has only something powerful enough. Something has to be strong and powerful to change a human's habit. So if I've been engaging with that person or the student body, and it's normally a certain buzz outside of the classrooms, right?
Yeah.
I'm walking through, hey man, how's it going? You know, if it's normally a certain buzz, when that buzz change, I know something else changed that's bigger than that. I got to find that out. I'm telling you, where there's smoke, there's fire. And so a campus director, it's you got to know your school inside and out, and you can know it without leaving your office. Once you've been in those valleys, it'll tell you. It will tell you. So at the end of the day, I focus on building relationships with people, but I also focus on building a certain type of environment. People always talk about conducive to the learning environment. Well, let's stay right there. What activities, what things need to be available for the learning environment to be conducive, for the environment to be conducive to student learning. If you don't help them walk through the issues, if you don't build rapport with that person, I'm going to share one more thing. I call this a puppy's love. Do you have a dog?
I do not. And I hope my wife have you is ever not had watching. One? I have.
Okay. When you came home.
Yeah.
That dog's happy to see you.
Yeah.
Happy to see you. Right?
Yep.
If you had to discipline that dog the very next second, happy to see you, would love you immediately.
Yeah.
Right? So dog owners, they are so loyal to that pup, to that dog. I mean, it's family. Yeah. That dog is family. But why? What can cause a human to be that connected, that protective, right? Mm-hmm. That loyal to an animal? It's the consistent love that the animal shows the human, unconditional. So I tell you this, when I'm walking down the hallway, I don't allow people to build a brick wall between the two of us. And sometimes humans do it. They say, men, you get 5 seconds to positively impact a man. Women, you only get 3.
Right? Okay.
So when I'm meeting someone or I'm walking down the hallway, I don't wait until we get up on each other. My eyes are wide open. Like I'm happy to see them, like that puppy, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm happy to see them, and I'm consistent with it. Because I got to make sure I got to build a rapport. They could be with my school for 6 months, 8 months. That's not long.
No.
You don't see them every single day. So how do I build that strong relationship where if they are having issues, they feel comfortable letting me in and leadership allowing me to influence and persuade them? When they know it's a safe space and you care, they would allow you to persuade them. They would allow you to lead them. The only thing left with that is you got to be responsible with that approval. You got to guide them well, and you got to guide them to the finish line and beyond the finish line. And I always tell them, when you get hired, I want to know. Because that, man, for me, there's nothing better.
Yeah, I remember my first hire. I remember that to this day. I remember that. I remember him and his wife came in the school, and I was there on a Saturday, man. And it was that capstone class, and him and his wife gave me the biggest hug. And the smile on this student, he didn't smile a lot, not because he was angry, because he was just this stern, stern appearance. And that was the first time I saw a smile on his face. And I was like, wow, this is powerful. Like, this is incredible. Like,
feeling
to this day, I still get emails. I get messages.
Yeah.
Just, hey, Mr. C, hey, what's going on? Hey, I really appreciate you. And I'm like, man, this is crazy. But it makes you feel, just like you said, it makes you feel like you had a hand in changing somebody's life.
Oh, man.
Better. And it does not get better than that. You've had a lot of jobs. You've done it all. Let's just put it out there. You've done it all.
Oh, yeah.
If you could choose one of them, what do you think is the, and when I ask this question, I don't mean in terms of pay, I don't mean in terms of freedom. What is the job that Moses Delaney just, oh man, that was the job right there. I've gone on to do other things, but that one right there, just, that was it.
Meaning the company or just the role?
No, the role.
Okay. You know, I would still have to say, even though I've been a vice president of operations, so I've supervised campus presidents. That one meant something to me, but it took me away from students.
Students, okay. I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, still did well. I would do it again, but it took me away. I don't have a campus. It's not my campus. There's somebody else leading these multiple sites, these campuses. It's not me. Mm. Right? So that was a good role. That was a good role because I was able to coach and train campus presidents. This is how you create like an electrify. This is how you electrify your campus. Mm. This connects this way. Watch this. Don't take your eyes off that. Check up on this. This should, when you walk past this department, it should sound this way.
Right.
When you walk past a classroom, you should hear this. You should see this. Mm. So coaching meant a lot to me. But the role that it's a role that I'm doing now. Mm. It's the role that I'm doing right now, serving as a campus director. Because I always tell my wife, it caters to my every strength and to my every weakness. Mm. And to my every weakness. And it just, I like a lot of responsibility put on me. It's a weird feeling. I want the pressure.
Mm, okay.
I want it. Like, if you don't give it to me, I'm going to go find more pressure. I want it. It just, I want the weight of the world on my shoulders. Bring it. Mm. I want it. And leading a campus, when you see all those students walking in and you realize it's your leadership that's going to impact their lives, their children's lives, I mean, generations upon generations. You got people, jobs in your, I mean, it's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah. And that, I'm some not of fulfilled. That can be, that's legacy. That's generational change in your hands at that point. You're like, man, some of those first time college students.
Yes.
That's... And
I'm going to share with you, the reason why that role means so much to me. When we grew up, you know, back in Virginia, I remember days when we didn't have any lights on, right? Mm-hmm. And you know when your power has been cut off. It's a certain silence. It's a different type of silence when you walk in the house. You don't even have to even hit the light switch. It's a certain silence that you hear when your lights are off. When your water's off, only way to get that toilet to flush, you got to go get water from somebody's house if your water's off too. You know, been there, done that. You got to pour that water down that toilet. It's the only way a toilet will flush if your water's off, right? Mm. So you learn all of these type of things. But we grew up like that. My mother dropped out of high school at 16. She had three kids by the age of 19, me being the youngest, right? So I'm the baby. So I remember she went back for her GED, but she went to a school, like a vocational school, right? Mm-hmm. It was probably like a 10-month program in a county. We didn't have a car. So I remember her riding the bus, getting home at 11:30 at night, hearing the big bus, the brakes, the and then hearing her footsteps, like mama's home, you know? I remember her sacrificing, but I also remember that the campus director was the one that got her a job working for the city of Hampton, Virginia. Mm. And I remember we never went without lights again. Water, food stamps. Like, I actually got a new bike for Christmas. Not a used bike. I got a new bike, you know.
Okay.
So I remember, I said, man, if I ever have the opportunity to run my own campus, I want to be that effective. Mm. Where our lives changed. Man, it was crazy. Our lives changed. My mother was able to raise us, my mother and my father. They were on and off, okay? You know, right, life. You know? But my mother raised all three of us. My brother ended up being a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. My sister, you know, is doing significant things. All three of us, college grads on multiple levels, and we came from literally nothing. For me, the responsibility of seeing someone, whoever saw my mom, I don't know if they saw my mother and her three kids, but when I see a student and I see them like in Target or Walmart, I see them with children, it multiplies the level of responsibility in my mind. And that's what really drives me. Like, dang, she has a little five-year-old little boy. That was me. 43 Man. Years ago, that was me, right? It's not just about her. It's about him too. And now I'm able to provide for my family to make sure that my daughters, you know, my youngest daughter, she's at Spelman. She's about to graduate now, right? Man. There's no way I would have been able to coach her the way I have been. If my mother wasn't able to provide for us, she would not have had that if it wasn't for the leader that was at her school, that campus director. So long story short, that role, the campus director role, for me, I get job opportunities all the time. Running a campus is what I do.
Man, you mentioned your daughter.
Yeah, I have three.
And okay, but there was and reading your bio, you coaching one of your daughters is the catalyst for first job prep. Let's hear about that. How did it start? And then number two, explain what first job prep, what that program is.
Got it. So my daughter, my youngest daughter, Maya, she was like, I wanted my dream job is to work at Foot Locker. I said, well, why do you want to work there? I want shoe discounts, Dad. I want shoe discounts. I said, okay. I said, well, listen, there's a process. You have to apply for the job. You have to, when they call you for an interview, you have to know what to say. You have to have a resume. You know, when you get there, you have to know how to move. Like, they have a certain culture. They have a certain beat. They have a certain pace, right? Okay. They have certain expectations of sales, right? Mm-hmm. You haven't practiced any of that yet, but let me prepare you. I can help you. So I took her downtown Atlanta. I took her to Lenox Mall. There's a Foot Locker there.
Yep.
And I said, let's just walk around there. Let's just walk around and let's just see, how do they greet you? However they greet you, that's probably that manager's expectations, right? Expectation. You know, how do they walk you around the store? What's the feeling? How fast do they walk? If they walk faster than you, you got to pick up your pace, right?
Okay.
So we have to watch all of that type of stuff. I took her through that. We did a resume and I created a script. All right, now here's your resume. Did a resume, sent it off. Mm-hmm. They didn't call her. I said, well, you have to follow up. She said, well, what do I say? I said, ah, that's right. They don't know what to say. Well, here's the script. Let's practice. Ring, ring. Mm-hmm. Come on, Maya, ring, ring. Okay. Hey, this is Derek with Foot Locker. How can I help you? Baby, read your script. So we had to go through it like that. But mm-hmm. when she was ready, when that telephone call came, she told me, I didn't even need to pull out the script in my pocket. So I told her, print it out, put it in your pocket. You never know when that phone call is going to come. When you get that phone call, pull it out your pocket so you can refer back to the script. She said it was just automatic. Long story short, she got the job at Foot Locker, right? Dream job. I look at her closet now, her whole closet, stacks of tennis shoes. But that's what they care about. They're 16, 17 years old. And then her friends started asking, hey, can you help me out? And then other teenagers, can you help me out?
Now, are they asking her for help or are they asking you for help?
Well, she told them. And then they said, okay, ask Uncle Mo. That's what they call me, Uncle Moses. Ask Uncle Mo, can he help me? Absolutely. So then I'm like, now, this for free. I can't be giving all my time like this. So I am going to create something online, the same exact training and scripts, telephone scripts, resumes, everything. Most of these young teens, they don't have a resume. If they never worked before, they don't have a resume. Yeah. So we take all of the learning objectives from the course and use that as the first meet, that first section on their resume. Mm. At least now you have a resume. And probably better than the fact that you haven't worked before, you've been trained. Because you can take someone who has had a job before. Doesn't mean they got the right soft skills. Right. Doesn't mean they know how to cross sell and upsell. First job prep is three courses there. It's first job prep. That's how to get the job.
Okay.
It's soft skills and customer service. Trust me, they need that. You can get the job, but you got to keep the job. So they need that those soft skills. And the last one is for the person who's been working for a year or two, but now they want to prepare to become a team leader. Now we have the intro to management and leadership.
Oh, man.
And these are if teenagers are building these skills at 18, 19 years old, a parent can set their child on a very positive and strong trajectory when they help them prepare. And that's the purpose of first job prep.
To prepare.
For success, for workplace success.
And as you're working with these these, I'm going to say people, I was going to say youth, but you hope adults as well, right?
So yeah.
As you're working with these individuals, what's one of the things that, you know, you offer a wide variety of stuff. What's one of the things that, you know, through your interactions with them that you found that right there, that's the deficiency. That's the deficiency in all of them. That right there. And I've got to attack that right there.
Yeah. They're afraid. It's fear.
Wow.
Fear.
Mm.
You can have a child that's very outgoing and you can tell them, go get a job. The moment they have to go up there and ask for a resume and ask for an application or, you know, are you guys hiring? Or when they go online and they apply for a job, okay, they can submit their resume. But when that telephone ring,
man,
look,
choke, huh?
You're going to set your child up for failure. And it's going to hurt their confidence because they're asking to be accepted into a place. When they get rejected over and over and over again, it's going to hurt their confidence. And you need them to be, they are about to leave home in 2 or 3 years, go off to, you want them to be secure. You want them to know how to engage with the public. When my daughter Maya applied for Spelman the first time, she didn't get accepted. She had to write another letter. And I told her, I said, you have to differentiate yourself. Okay. You don't have a 4.0. I think she had a 3.3. That's tough to get into Spelman with that. It's tough. I said, you have to separate yourself. I said, most of these applicants probably don't have a job, right? They're busting a 4.0, 4.2. They don't have a job, right? But they are going to college to prepare for the workplace. You are already in the arena. Mm. You need to highlight that. While these other teenagers are preparing, I'm already in the arena. I'm already engaging with the public. I'm already de-escalating conflict in the store. I'm already selling. I'm already cross-selling and upselling. I know what that is. I'm already leading a team. I'm bringing these experiences into the classroom. Separate yourself. First job prep, man, is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. But fear.
Fear.
And you can overcome that through preparation and repetition. And that's the purpose of first job prep.
Man, for someone listening that maybe they're in that area of their life, that mode of fear, how do they find first job prep?
Mm-hmm.
How could they get in touch with Moses Delaney?
Yeah.
Or anything, any program that he has going on? How can they find and reach you?
Yeah. Well, thank you. So they can just go on to www.firstjobprep.com. We kept it very simple. Go to firstjobprep.com. I recommend if you don't get the managerial course, you have to get the first job prep course. It's just $25. It's $25.
Man.
You can, yeah, because some people are going to struggle to pay the $25. I'm not trying to get rich off this. All right. I got to pay the website fees and stuff like that, but they got to just go on the first job prep, get the first job prep course and get the soft skills because the team needs to get the job. Okay, great. But they got to keep the job.
Man.
Those soft skills are priceless, but first job prep was born. You and I have both worked in higher education. Mm-hmm. When you work in higher education, you can see the deficiency in the youth, in the student that they didn't develop in their earlier years. Mm-hmm. So I said, I work in higher education, but I'm noticing these deficiencies, okay? And some parents are just busy. They're busy. Yeah. They're loaded. They're trying their best. How can I help close that gap? And that's another purpose of First Job Prep. But the other organization is the National Institute for Higher Education Training.
Okay.
If anybody were to go on higheredjobs.com, what you're going to see is over 70,000 vacant jobs in higher education. AC, some of these roles are paying six figures.
Wait a minute.
What are you doing?
These jobs are there. That many vacant jobs right in now. Higher education?
Right now. I checked before we even hopped on this call, right? On my website, on the National Institute for Higher Education Training, which is NIHET.org, NIHET.org. When you go on the website and you scroll down, you're going to see a big banner, over 70,000 jobs available. I put that up there back in November. It's been almost 100 days. is still over 70,000 jobs available in higher education. There is a skills gap in higher education.
Wow.
Some are fully remote and six figures. I'm like, what are you guys waiting on? These roles are there. So knowing that I have done nearly every role on the campus, I wrote the curriculum, just how I train anybody else, an instructor, a program chair, a dean, admission, student services, whatever. I put it all out there online, made it available. All somebody has to do is go on to knehead.org, pick their role, take the course. You can finish it in a day or two. Okay. When you finish, you get a certificate. This is a great example, of what it looks like.
Okay.
So you get a certificate, right? It also provides you with an interview script. So if you're going to be an admissions rep, you want to help people. Okay. It's not enough just to train. You need to know what are the typical questions that a campus president or a director of admissions is going to ask you. Mm. We put the typical questions up there and responses. All you have to do is practice them, right?
Okay.
We also offer resume, help. Chappelle, I got to tell you, I have interviewed literally over 1,000 people, 97-95% of their resumes are not good. People think they are good. They don't invest in their resume. I'll stop there, but that's a major issue. People see your resume before they see you. You have to invest in a good resume and don't believe yourself when you think your resume is good. When I see your resume, I can tell how someone thinks just by reading their resume.
Man.
And somebody said, why are they judging me about my resume? They need to get to know me as a person. I say this, your resume is your work. So if you create a poor resume, I'm already believing.
Yeah.
Your work is probably going to be the same quality.
Ouch.
That was a lot.
Ouch.
That was a lot. But I can help people, man. That's what I do.
So first, now is it first as in one ST job prep, or is it first spelled out job prep?
It's first spelled out. FIRST.
Gotcha.
JOBPREP. firstjobprep.com.
And NIHET.org.
Knehead.org.
There y'all go, Life Strong family. All right.
Go
out there and make your acquaintance with my man, Moses Delaney there. You can get you on the straight and narrow per se. Let's say if you're trying to get to that next level, especially in education, or if you're just trying to get to that next level, period, or find that job. Trust me. I've interviewed a few people, but very rarely do I get to interview somebody who I can personally say, I put my stamp of approval on him.
Thank you, sir.
I've worked with him. I've worked for him. I've seen him in action. Look, this brother knows exactly what he's talking about. He's operating in his gift. Trust me.
Thank you.
If you want to learn the ways of finding the job, getting the job, education, how to become a dean, how to operate as a chair. This is the man that you need to come in contact with. All right. So remember, First Job Prep, FIRST, jobprep.com, and Knehead. I don't know how you pronounce it. Knehead.org. All right, man. Bro, Moses, I appreciate you, brother, for stopping through on the Life Strong Project.
Thank you,
man.
Sir. It's an honor.
It was an honor. Yes. Thank you for your service as well. I know we're both
Absolutely.
Vets, so thank you
That's
for your
right.
service
thank you.
As well. And on a personal note, man, like I said, I thank you for everything that you've taught me.
Yes, sir.
The years that we did work together meant a lot, man.
Hey, man, you were awesome.
I appreciate it.
If you ever want to get back in higher education, I'm only a phone call away. I'm a text message. You don't have to call me. You just text me.
I appreciate that.
I will make it happen for you.
Man, I appreciate that, man. Means a lot. I appreciate that.
Hands down.
All right, man. Hey, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
So, again, Life Strong family, Moses Delaney, campus president, right? Campus president.
And this company is a campus director. Okay. But same thing.
Campus president slash work. Campus director extraordinaire. Thank you for joining the Lifestrong Project again. Listeners, please remember, like, subscribe, and comment. Share this episode with somebody who needs to hear it. All right. And as always, remember, your life is fleeting. Cherish it. Your life is ever changing. You have to adapt. And most of all, your life is yours. You've got to live it. This is AC on behalf of Moses Delaney. We appreciate y'all listening in. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Lifestrong Project.